Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us with this episode of the Charity Charge Show. I'm really proud and pleased to bring with you Scott Jackson, the CEO and president of Global Impact. Just trying to use this podcast, especially in these challenging times, to bring on leaders from the nonprofit industry to share their advice and strategies and some inspiration. So, Scott, first and foremost, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, you know, just to run right into it, a big reason why I asked you on this is not only are you a partner of ours at Charity Charge, so Charity Charge and Global Impact working together, but you have so much experience. So do you mind sharing with the audience your background and also talk about the work that happens with your role at Global Impact?
Well, thank you, Stephen. Yeah, my background has been working with the international nonprofit sector, World Vision, and then PATH, which is a global health technologies nonprofit, and for the last 8 years with Global Impact. And Global Impact, just a quick overview, is a nonprofit that's focused on raising funds and growing global philanthropy. That's why we're so proud to be a partner to Charity Charge, which is such a fantastic vehicle for nonprofits to be able to have a revenue return as well as a terrific card for all of their uses. And more broadly, we do three things at Global Impact. We help design strategies for fundraising. We then often serve as a campaign partner for those fundraising campaigns. And then finally, we can often serve as a fiscal sponsor to get money out to nonprofits. So that's kind of our three areas of focus, if you will. We've been around about 64 years, and in many ways, we were the international sector United Way. It's how we were first formed as a workplace giving federation. So we do a lot of work with everyday donors that are giving less than $10,000, which make up such a critical foundation to all of our giving in the United States and around the world, really.
And give the audience a sense of just ballpark your revenue size in terms of, as recent as the last fiscal year, just in general, because I think it's pretty surprising. I want people to know, how significant of an organization you all are.
So we raised and distributed to charity $127 million this past year.
It's unbelievable.
And we have an operating budget of about $20 million.
And so that's really a big reason why I wanted to have you on here, because I think that your organization, I know you personally are really looked up to as leaders in the philanthropic space. And as you just enumerated through your three distinct areas, you see a lot of things that happen just in the giving world itself. One of the campaigns, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of your work has also been with the federal government. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We serve as a national marketing coordinator for the combined federal campaign, which is the federal employees campaign. It's the largest campaign in the world, especially one without a match. So they raise roughly $90 million a year, and federal employees don't even get a match from the federal government. That's all their money.
It's unbelievable. And again, as you talk about those numbers, it just gives a sense of scale because, that probably accounts for what, hundreds of thousands of people, or am I way off in that number?
Yeah, they have about 300,000 employees that participate in the campaign and about 600,000, are eligible.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into it, Scott. There's a few things that I wanted to ask you about. My first is, what's been running through your head? Last week was I could call it bizarre, I could call it wild, but you obviously had the weekend, I imagine, to reflect a little bit. What's your general sense of just what's going on and what you're hearing and how you think it may affect nonprofits moving forward?
Absolutely. I think first and foremost is everyone's health and safety. And so none of us have seen anything like this in our lifetime. So whether it was 9/11 or the Great Recession, or certainly SARS and Ebola and other epidemics, but we've not seen anything that really did transcend the world and affect virtually every region and every country in the world. And so I think the most important thing is for all of us to take very seriously the health threat and do everything we can to, you know, slow the virus down. And so all of us in the nonprofit sector, I think the first thing we can do is be role models for our families and our communities, right? And that's not a small task, because we all want to keep going and we want to keep working. I mean, I came into our office today, but only because I knew no one was here. But I think it's so important for all of us to heed health officials' warnings and really do what they're asking us to do. So I think that's the first thing. The second is certainly to continue to communicate. And I think the nonprofit sector is doing a really good job. And I encourage all the nonprofit Charity Charge partners to do your best to communicate to your board, your staff, and your donors just about what you're doing in terms of the health response, but also kind of how the organization's doing, because they care about you, right? And they want to make sure that you have what you need.
Scott, you had mentioned in there 9/11, for example. Could you take us back in time to where you were working or running, what organization you were with at that time, and just compare and contrast a little bit, and then perhaps go into some of the like lessons learned or some of the tactical things you did post 9/11?
Certainly. So I was with World Vision, which is one of the largest nonprofits in the world. And I was serving as senior vice president for World Vision USA. And we became that week, we had a team in New York, and we became that week part of the faith-based response at Ground Zero. And so I was actually at Ground Zero on the fourth day following the attacks, which is a horrific scene, but it was also such a privilege to see the first responders and to see everything that the whole community was doing. And I think that's one certainly parallel, is that of course 9/11 affected the United States more than many other countries, but the United States rallied and really cared about what had happened across the East Coast, and there was an effort to really kind of come together. So that certainly happened after 9/11, whether it was from the private sector or the public sector. And I think that's happening here as well. What happened following that was that there was also then a real focus on initially the 9/11 response and then on recovery. And it certainly had donors' attention, which meant that their attention wasn't as great on other causes. But I think unlike the world that we're facing right now, you could have a sense that we were going to get through this time of crisis and that we were going to come back to normal. And I think today people don't know when that end will be, right? With COVID and how that'll look. And so that is a little bit different perspective. Certainly after 9/11, there was always a sense that the world had changed forever, because it did. And we still see that in our airports and our daily lives. But I think there was still a belief that we were going to be able to continue to tackle causes, global and national, that we cared about. And in this situation, we have to tackle COVID first, right? Before we can tackle almost anything else. So that it's an interesting, both similar and different perspective, I think.
It is really interesting that you bring that up, and I appreciate you touching on that. I want to ask you also, you know, I'm 33 now, so I was a freshman in high school. I would have been 14 when 9/11 happened, and I remember it, and I remember the difference, you know, of traveling before 9/11 to traveling after, but I obviously wasn't a professional in the working world. My first time like encountering something like this, which I don't want to compare it because it's a different level, but was the 2008 recession and everything that was happening there. I had just graduated college, so and new to the job market. So now, jumping gears, any way that you would compare this at all to the recession? And part of why I say that is, you know, being in the giving world, so many nonprofits have had and will continue to have their galas, events, races, all these different sort of things canceled, which they've, in a sense, a lot of them have earmarked and really counted on that revenue year in and year out. So to a nonprofit that's listening, that's in a fundraising role or really counting on that revenue, I'm rambling around with the question, but could you kind of like speak to them of some of the things that you might suggest they do or think of, or just anything that comes top of mind with respect to 08 and also, you know, loss of revenue?
Certainly. I think in the context of the Great Recession, we saw, a decline, and then it took probably at least 5 to 6 years for us to begin to see giving rebound. So we saw this decline in giving, and then it took again at least 5, 6, 7 years before we began to see it grow again and get over $300 billion and continue to grow. So it had a real ripple effect, in many ways the reduction in charitable giving happened gradually, and it also came back gradually. I think the difference in this situation is that events, online, you know, giving, you know, anything that's not COVID related is all of a sudden just stopped. And so with the stock market down 20%+, all happening, you know, at once, you have kind of this multiplier effect right now on immediate giving, because you have both the stock market and you have all these different channels of everyday donors and galas and online giving that have been affected. Completely unlike the Great Recession, we should see, you know, a return of donors and of activities once we're past this health crisis. And then we'll deal with the residual of the stock market and bringing the economy back, which I don't want to sell short because that's going to be a big task. So I think as we look ahead, first of all, is you're not alone, right? So whether you're a for-profit small business or you're a nonprofit, everybody's getting this kind of sudden jolt, both of their everyday donors as well as their high net worth donors, which is kind of a little bit different than what happened in the recession. And so the first thing to do is to, not panic, but instead really look at anything you can to adjust your budget and not lose your valuable assets, which often are people. And then the second thing I really encourage people to do is make sure that you can do as much of your work virtually with your donors, and the ability not only for them to give online, but your ability to communicate and to even generate programs online. So that's going to be part of a new normal. So any nonprofit that can deliver their programs as well as raise funds online will be in a better position than those that can only do one or the other.
It's well said. What's the sense, just in general, as a leader, I mean, you have approximately how many individuals on your staff that work for Global Impact and you?
We have 110 employees.
Wow. So as we've moved to this completely remote type of world, any things that have had any anecdotes you could share that have you changed up how you're communicating with your team? Are you doing all hands differently? What are some of the things that came about last week as you have so many employees to communicate with as the leader?
Yes. Well, one thing that we're thankful for is that we have about a third of our staff work remotely already around different parts of the country and the world. And then we also, at least a year ago, implemented a telecommuting Friday for all the staff around the world, including our headquarter offices here in DC. And that helped to get us ready for this new world in which now everyone is remote. And so I think the first thing is making sure that your staff are safe and that they have the equipment that they can communicate with. And then the second thing as a leader is I'm finding it so important to stay in touch. So I'm doing everything I can to get a communication out on a regular basis, to have more virtual staff calls. And I think that's important to do because people don't know what they don't know. And so it's really important to have good communications. And then finally is to really make sure everybody knows kind of what their manageable interest is, right? What do you need that associate or manager or supervisor to do while they're remote? You know, what teams are they in charge of? What programs are they working on? So that you can make sure that everybody has a sense of that, even if they can't see each other, or at least be with each other.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to, on that point, I want to somewhat shift gears actually to close out here to talk about, you mentioned as you started this, we started this interview that the bulk of giving, you know, is from, as I think as you called it, everyday givers at that $10,000 or less a year level. One of the initiatives that we've, that I'm aware of and that we've collaborated a bit on is Grow Fund. And I think that coming out of this, one of the things is that I think a lot of people are stuck at home and maybe their way of giving back traditionally maybe had been volunteering in person or just in general, people are searching for ways to give back, to help out, to feel like they're doing something positive. So with that being said, would you mind talking about Grow Fund? And I think it'd be helpful for the audience also to know some of your partners in it. I may be speaking out of turn, but I believe that the Gates Foundation has been a partner of yours in that. So would you please share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it's mygrowfund.org. And Grow Fund was set up to be a no minimum donor advice fund, which is one of the fastest growing segments in philanthropy. And we wanted every person, regardless of how much they give, to have the same tools of a foundation or donor advice fund where they can not only save, but their funds, of course, in a good stock market can be invested. And the whole notion is that you then can make donations from your Grow Fund to the charities of your choice. And we're so thankful that Charity Charge, you can actually link your Charity Charge card to your Grow Fund account. So you can give both to individual charities and also to your Grow Fund account. So I think that's powerful. And as we look ahead in the new world, anything that's multiple cause related, where it relates to our everyday living as well as our everyday giving, will be important, you know, revenue channels like Charity Charges for nonprofits. So Grow Fund is a no minimum donor advice fund, and anybody can set up their own account. We have a lot of giving circles on the platform. So these are communities of givers that come together around certain causes and certain charities. But it is it's also another way to think about using your charity charge card.
I appreciate that. And it's kind of you to give us a little bit of a mention there, but really just having you on, especially this episode, I appreciate everything that you've shared, Scott. And one thing that I'd note too, I found your most recent newsletter to be unbelievably helpful. As I know your team has been putting together a lot of different resources yourselves or finding other resources for nonprofits. And so if anyone's interested also in learning more about Global Impact and getting on that newsletter, you can go to charity.org and subscribe to that newsletter. But I really thank you for being on here and your team for, as you started this as well, talking about how, you know, the nonprofit community is rallying together and sharing information. Thanks for being a focal point of that.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for all you're doing for the nonprofit sector.
Well, I appreciate that as well. So look, I thank everyone who's been listening along. If you have any suggestions or guests, leaders in the nonprofit community that have something meaningful to share, please feel free to reach out to us. You can also just email me directly, Stephen with a PH. That's Stephen@charitycharge.com. Thanks so much and stay tuned for future episodes. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.